B-Pod Studios.
We saw the news come across yesterday, and you had drop this little nugget in front of us about the Eagles and their desire to extend Zach Ertz. But it had the caveat of waiting for Kittle to more or less, I guess, set the market. How does that work out? Because it seems to be abnormal from the way the Eagles have done business.
Yeah, I just want to kind of clear something up.
Because okay.
What happened was, on that show that I do with Jeff, I'd made a comment back in March. You know, Jeff had asked me, what do you think happens here with Ertz's contract? Because he's got 2 years left. I said, don't look for an extension to get done with Ertz until Kittle gets his deal done. Now, we should mention that the Eagles made a significant offer before the end of last season, which he turned down. They could not agree to a deal. Now, the reason why I said he should wait till Kittle gets his deal, we need to know where the top of the market is going to be. If Kittle, Mark, gets his deal done, not only will that make him the highest paid tight end in NFL history, it's going to be a deal that dwarfs anything that we've seen. The highest paid tight end right now in the National Football League is Austin Hooper, who signed with the Browns 4 years, $42.5 million, $10.5 million per season, which makes him the highest paid tight end in the National Football League. And by the way, Austin Hooper has the same agent as Ertz, so I'm sure that Steve Carrick is going to want to see the numbers that Kittle gets, if indeed he gets his deal done. Kittle's agent, Jack Becta, who, by the way, hails from Philadelphia, might remember Jermaine Mayberry. Jack did that deal. He gave a quote to NBC Bay Area on a recent podcast. The quote is this, quote, right now there's not a comp for George Kittle. He's unique. He's a unicorn. He's one of a kind. He needs a special contract. So if I'm Zach Ertz, you're going to want to see what that contract looks like. Now, I pegged that deal, $13 to $15 million. That would really jump the market. That would really blow it up. But it sounds like Becton wants a deal that is at least $15 million, even more. So if that deal gets done, I think Ertz is going to see what that deal looks like. Why would you sign now for, let's say, $11 and $11.5 million when Kittle might blow that thing up?
Right. Do you think he'll get Kittle money, more than Kittle money, around Kittle money? What do you think it'll end up being?
No, it would have to be less. Kittle's the way, Mark, the personnel people look at Kittle, he's the best all-around tight end in the National Football League. He's the best blocking tight end, and also he's a heck of a receiver. I mean, he's had a season over 90 catches before. The guy's an incredible football player, and he needs to blow the market up, but and right now the deal's not done. The Niners have made this clear. They want this deal done, and Kittle wants to get a deal done, but they've not agreed to a deal yet. So one thing, look, Ertz doesn't need a deal. I mean, the Eagles don't need to do this deal right now. It would help them, obviously, lower his cap number, particularly for next season, when they have a major challenge. Right now, they're well over $20 million in cap space for the season, and they'll move whatever cap space they have until next season. But they're going to need help for 2021. They have some significant challenges for 2021.
Yeah, speaking with Adam Kaplan inside the Birds podcast. So that goes more along the lines of conventional thinking then. It's not like Ertz is looking at Kittle saying, oh, I can get that money.
No, he just won't. But you want to know. Let's say he does get $16 million. Well, if you're Ertz, you probably want to get $13 to $14 million. You know, it's incredible. This is how bad the tight end deals have been for the last 8 years. They just have not moved up. The deal that Rob Gronkowski, Mark, did in 2012 was $10 million a season, okay? That was 8 years ago. Hooper got a really nice deal with the Browns, got $10.5 million. It's only going up $500,000 per season. The funny thing about Hooper is the Niners actually, I'm told, made a significant run at him before he signed with the Browns, which is pretty interesting because they have Kittle.
Adam, we often get people saying, oh, it's time to trade Ertz. He's going to be 30. You have Dallas Goedert as the backup. You can plug him into where Ertz was and then find another capable backup. To that, you say what?
You know, it's interesting, Bob. We have a Facebook page for our show, Inside the Birds, where we posted a link to our podcast, and so many people jumped in and said, oh, he's 29. You know, do the Eagles really need to keep him? They ought to trade him. Try to get Jamal Adams, which I laughed at. Like, come on. I mean, we're getting too carried away with it. No, listen, when you look at this situation, you want to, if you're the Eagles, you would like to get this deal done. They have the motivation to do it. So does Ertz. But it's got to be right, and that's kind of where they are. I don't know if I answered your question the right way, but the bottom line is they've known about this. They've talked, they talked, obviously, late last season. And things sometimes when you have a deadline, well, there's really no deadline. Zach has 2 years left on this deal, but the one thing I didn't mention is he has no guaranteed money left in this deal.
Speaking with Adam Kaplan inside the Birds podcast, the other part of this is what bargaining chips does Zach Ertz have as a guy that is 29 years old, going to be 30 during the season? Does it help that he's been the most reliable target? Does it help that he's got a great relationship with Carson Wentz? Does all that kind of really factor into the idea that he could be signing himself a lucrative deal? Not George Kittle, but still lucrative deal nonetheless.
Yeah, Mark, the challenge here is, and yes, you're right, Zach is very close to, obviously, Carson Wentz. It's not a secret. You've got to, if you're from an Eagles standpoint, you've got to do a deal that does not hurt you. If he retires early, you know, Jeff and I have a piece that we're posting later today where we go back and forth on the best way to do this. You have to be careful when you extend older players' contracts. I know Zach is in tremendous physical shape. I remember talking to Zach about that a year ago in terms of how he keeps himself in shape and how he's been able to kind of get over the injury bug, and it's just because he keeps himself in tremendous shape. But you have to be careful when you extend contracts into their 30s, because guys just sometimes all of a sudden retire. And what happens, Mark, with NFL contracts opposed to NBA contracts? NBA contracts are basically fully guaranteed. NFL contracts are not, but they have signing bonus proration. If the guy retires early, you take on a tremendous amount of dead money. The Eagles have to be very, very careful how they structure this contract.
Adam, you talked about next year they're going to be well over the cap, right?
Correct.
So the
numbers that are out there are not exactly correct, I've been told, but they're definitely going to be way over the cap.
Yeah, so what are some cost-cutting measures that you can see happening, you know, whether it be soon or after the season or whatever it may be?
Obviously lowering Ertz's cap number with an extension. His cap number is well over $12 million for next season, and by the way, it's almost identical. They're both around $12.5 million per season, so they could probably look at that. I'm probably on the side of few people are, but I strongly believe DeSean Jackson will be back in 2021 if he could stay healthy. But this cap number is high, so they'd have to lower that. Alshon Jeffrey walking away from him after this season. We had reported back in March that he'll be on the team this season. No one wanted to believe it, but I feel even stronger now that he'll be on the football team, barring a shock. You could just Brandon Graham's contract they could look at in terms of restructure. Malik Jackson, there's a realistic chance he won't be with the team in 2021 because they're paying Hargrave and Fletcher Cox massive money. They'll have to make a decision on Roddy McLeod after this season. So what you do generally, Bob, is you target veteran contracts and you continue to restructure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, with the older players, you have to be careful, because if these guys can't play again or walk away, that bonus acceleration gets hit in one season. And it really crushes you. They're already crushed for 2021. It's the first time I can remember in Howie Roseman's career that they have a significant cap challenge. You know, generally, because they've structured contracts so well. But they keep pushing it down, pushing the can down the road, and finally it's going to come due.
Adam, the other part of this is when you're talking about the finances of all of it, COVID-19 and the impact on the NFL if they don't have fans at the stadiums.
Yeah.
Is that something that you hear is very much being factored in for the 2020 season?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no question. So basically the way I would set up my conversations with coaches and executives over the last month, barring, you know, obviously we know this can change, but people around the National Football League feel strongly there's going to be a season. They cannot tell you for sure it'll start on time, but they feel, Mark, that we're going to have a season. The commission will not rule out having fans, but the reality is it's going to be hard to have fans this season because of the safety issue. They're not willing to say either way whether it'll happen, but people I trust tell me that it's going to be very difficult to get it to pass. Because remember, it then becomes a state issue and a county issue, depending where you live. And the other thing is, which it's not so important now in early July, but it sure as heck is going to be a very important in mid to late August. You can't have teams having a competitive advantage of, you know, let's say one county, you're playing a team, and they're allowed to have, you know, let's say it's the NFC East, right? You're playing the Redskins. Well, let's say, for argument's sake, they're cleared to have fans in, but yet in Philly they're not. Well, how in the world could that go, where the Redskins get such a competitive advantage to have fans, but the Eagles can't when they come to the link? So that's something that, of the many layers to this for the fall, that the league has to get through.
Adam, how do you see the preseason maybe playing out? Because Mark and I have been talking through the week, and I came up with the idea just that I think that every stadium will have to host a preseason game just to go through a dress rehearsal of how you're going to do things in these, you know, unquestionable times that we're in.
Yeah, Bob, so the belief we're in the National Football League, and I've felt this for about a month, is that we're going to go from 4 to 2 games, and I know the NFL and NFLPA are negotiating that. And the thing that it really surprised me, I wrote a piece last week for InsideTheBirds.com where this is the first time I can remember this happening. Coaches around the NFL were happy to lose two preseason games. And remember, they didn't even have an offseason with the players on the field, but they don't think it's really that necessary. What they do believe, and the reason why that it could be an issue, is when you don't have preseason and an offseason, it's really hard to evaluate the players in the bottom half of your roster. No, for instance, Corey Clement, who was an undrafted free agent in 17, if we had a situation in 20 in 17, I don't know that he makes the Eagles roster. Think about that. We're talking about the Super Bowl hero here. So you got to be careful what you wish for. Going to two games is very real. I'm not someone who puts percentages on anything, but there's a very real chance that happens. And if it does, that's yet less time to evaluate players.
Adam, outside of Philadelphia for a second and just focusing on New England, Cam Newton with Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels and all that, how's that pan out in New England?
Yeah, no, it's funny. I remember texting Brian Hoyer when he signed with the Patriots, and I forgot Brian reminded me that's his third team with the Patriots. And, you know, he was clearly, you could say what you want about Jarrett Stidham, but Brian knows that offense better than anyone. But when you bring in Cam Newton, it's not only for competition. Cam's the favorite. I mean, that's obvious. Mm-hmm. This is a great chance to revive his career. And the way I see him, Mark, being used, it's very similar to Tim Tebow. You're going to move him. He's going to run. Now, you get concerned remember he had his rotator cuff operated on a couple years ago. He basically had a two-year bad shoulder. And now he's coming back from the Lisfranc injury. So, you know, at 31 years old, there's definitely people wondering around the National Football League, and it clearly tells you about his one-year contract that, yeah, it's up to $7.5 million, but the real money's significantly less. It's like 25% of that contract is his real money. The fact of the matter is Cam's got to prove it, and that's the kind of deal that he signed. And I look forward to seeing how this works out because, you know, Bill Belichick is a smart guy. He's taken a chance, a very low risk, with a tremendously high reward.
Adam Kaplan, always great catching up with you, man. Really appreciate you coming on with us. Inside the Birds podcast, you and Jeff Mosher do a great job. And you guys are also on Facebook?
Yeah, we have a great Facebook page. Very smart discussion. And in fact, Jeff and I pop on there just about every day to get inside of the discussions. And the Earth discussion is fascinating because all the scenarios that people have there are pretty funny. But we love it.
Adam, great catching up, man. Thanks so much.
Guys, thanks
Adam.
Appreciate it. Adam Kaplan right there, Inside the Birds podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.